Well, let's move on to the RCL passage for January the 16th. It's from John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and it reads, "On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come.' His mother said to the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, 'Fill the jars with water.' And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, 'Now draw out some and take it to the chief steward.' So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it had come from, though the servants had drawn the water new, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now.' Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Joe, as I was preparing the questions from this pericope, I was just struck by the very first phrase, "on the third day." I mean, I think our eyes are always drawn to that. Is this just a marking of time, or is there something larger, more symbolic going on here with this wedding?
Yeah, I think there is, although I can appreciate that some wouldn't want to necessarily read too much into the term. But on the other hand, I think John is loosely connecting these events together because they prepare for the revelation of the glory of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. And I think it is tied together here because of Jesus' response to his mother when he says, "My hour has not yet come." That's the same language, of course, you know, he uses and is referring to when his hour did come and he did have to sacrifice his life for all humanity. So I do see that connection. And it's used in other places. So perhaps John is tying it together with the marriage of the Lamb to his bride, which is mentioned at the end of the New Testament. So here is John at the beginning of the New Testament, perhaps tying it together with the end of the New Testament, those last few chapters in Revelation. And so I can't say I could make 100% ironclad proof case for that, but I think maybe he is. I think that might be part of the imagery here that John is trying to create.
Yeah, well, one thing we can be assured of is with Scripture, there's always more that's going on than meets the eye, you know, at first reading. And so I'm curious, I mentioned to you what stood out to me. What stood out to you as you read through the passage?
Well, I enjoy wine. And I've made wine, well, several times over the years, and all but one time it was pretty good wine. And the imagery here that stands out, of course, it's party imagery. It's undeniable. People have a party at a wedding, and this is a wedding feast in John's story. And Jesus, in this story, comes to the party. And as I alluded to about the last few chapters of Revelation, John presents Jesus in a different way. Jesus is bringing the party with him as he marries his bride. And so as you just were alluding to there, there's this, as Tom Torrance used to say, an inner logic that we may see when we look at this together with the bride marrying Christ at the end. The inner logic would go something like this. Here's the plot we see in the New Testament. Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl. Boy gets girl. So when I say he's loosely tying it together, maybe it isn't so loose. Maybe he wants us to get that picture.
Fill the jars to the brim. Come on now. That sounds like a party to me. Should we just feel good about the wedding participants, or as you've actually spoken to, should we get excited about this party?
No, we should be excited, because what this filling brim, all these gallonage of wine that he produced miraculously, is a picture of his grace. And the picture, as I see it, is this. God's grace isn't just adequate. It's abundant. It's overflowing. It can match any task it challenges it. And I think that's a beautiful picture.
Yes. Amen and amen.